Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, along with my co-host, Sheila G.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, and my very good friend and pastor and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
Doing well. Doing well.
We just thank God for another week. Be able to make it through, and we just give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise for just allowing us to get through one more week.
Amen.
We always like to tell folks we thank God we don't look like what we've been through.
Amen.
And it's just an awesome blessing to be able to gather around God's word again. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name that we bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity come together and study your word, God. And we pray, God, that you would allow us to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. God, bless us right now that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
It's interesting how we have gone through the Beatitudes in Matthew, the fifth chapter. And, you know, we're coming up on what we call the Good Friday, when Jesus actually goes to Calvary's cross. And as he's at Calvary's cross, he demonstrates these attitudes that we've been studying. And, you know, it's good to know that, you know, Jesus just didn't talk about, you know, stuff, but he demonstrated. And he wouldn't ask us to do anything that he wouldn't do.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we study these, you know, we had to examine ourselves and we had to say, wow, could I actually do this?
Hmm.
And, you know, last week we talked about fasting and prayer and how fasting and prayer would give us the ability to be able to do these things. But we just want to look at this last verse in the Beatitudes, and that is in verse 12. Matthew 5:12, and it says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you." And so one of the biggest attitudes, Sheila G, Dr. G, is that we have to understand that, you know, we aren't the only ones going through.
Right.
And I think sometimes what happens is, going through, we think, you know, is woe is me.
Right.
And I heard somebody, I forget who I heard, said, he said, when you say woe is me or why me, that God would come back and say, why not you?
Amen.
That's right.
I don't know who said that, but that's, right. You know, that's the question. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the prophets and what they had to go through, you look at the prophets and everything that they had to go through, you know, and they were killed and they were martyred. The question is, do we think that we're going through something like that, that difficult, Sheila G?
I think sometimes we think we're going through worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole woe with me is the attitude of why is life so much harder for me than the rest of the world? Or you'll hear someone say, well, I look around and it seems like this person's being blessed and that person's being blessed and this person's getting this. When is my day going to come
mm-hmm.
in? So I think that we really believe sometimes that we are persecuted worse and nobody understands our pain.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. G, what do you think about it? Do you think that we think we have worse than the prophets?
Well, I don't really think we compare ourselves with the prophets. We forget all about what the prophets went through and how they had to go through it. As Sheila G says, we're going through what we go through, and all we can focus on are our problems at the time. So we're really not even thinking about what the prophets went through.
And you know, when we focus on that, or it's so bad for myself, I think what that does is that messes up our attitude and forgets that, you know, all of us have our cross to bear.
Amen.
And that Jesus said, you know, if you're going to follow me, you need to pick up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
But I think too many times we want Christianity without the cross.
Amen. If we could deal with it, yes. If we could get that.
But that's not the case.
Yeah.
We can't have Christianity without the cross. And so what God says is that we need to understand that God knows exactly what every one of us is going through.
Right.
In other words, he understands what the prophets went through. Mm-hmm. He understands what you and I go through. And the key here is, if we look at the end of the book of Matthew 28, I believe it's verse 20. Let's turn there real quick. What Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 20, he gives them instructions of what they should do as far as going on a great commission. And his promise is teaching them, Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And this is the key right here. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now, Dr. G., did you see anywhere in there a promise to say that we weren't gonna have problems?
Oh no.
So he never promised us that it was gonna be
there. Correct.
But he did promise he was gonna be there.
Right there with you, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that scripture right there is what should make people be able to go through what they gotta go through.
Yes.
Because you're not alone. You may think you're alone, but he's right there. He's standing at the door knocking and he's saying, lean on me.
Right.
Lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But we always want to lean to our own understanding
instead
of just leaning on Christ, because he is right there with us all the time. Even in our mess, he is right there to help us to get out of our mess.
Right. And Dr. G, when I say he didn't promise that to us, but, you know, how can we take that verse and say, he said, lo, I'll be with you always, back to verse 12 of Matthew 5 and say, because he said that, should I rejoice?
That's right.
Should I rejoice?
That's right.
You know, one of my favorite things I say is you can be unhappy and still have joy.
Ooh, come on now.
And that joy is the joy of the Lord. And that joy of the Lord is because he knows, you know, that he is right there with you.
Right.
And he's going to provide a way out.
And the thing that we have to continue to practice is to remind ourselves, practice to remind ourselves that he is there.
Amen.
Because the enemy would like for you to feel like you're all alone.
Right.
That's why he had to encourage us in Matthew 28, verse 20, that I'll be there, because the enemy, he'll come and say, you know you all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know you looked around and everybody said they were going to be with you.
All right.
You know, they're not there.
All right.
You know, you sitting at home, everybody else having a good time,
and
you by yourself.
Well, you know, that's one of the things right there. You know, we're so busy looking at everybody else that we need to be looking at Jesus.
Right.
Exactly. So you know, this you know, we make this segue into, you know, going to Good Friday. was Jesus alone when he was going from court to court?
God was with him.
God, the Spirit of God was with him.
The Spirit of God was with him. God was there. That's why he asked him three times, do I really have to do this?
Right.
And God told him no.
Right.
And he went through and did
and
what God told him.
He said, not my will, but your will be done in my life. And so, like I said, Jesus did not ask, does not ask us to do something that
he hasn't
done
himself. Mm-hmm.
And so when he's going through, you know, judgment hall to judgment hall, where people are hitting him and mocking him and putting a crown of thorns on his head and spitting him and beating him, recognition, what Jesus understood was that God was there with him.
Amen.
Even up to the point where the penalty was paid, where he had to face our sins, and God turned his head from him.
That's right.
So that he could bear all of our sins.
Yeah.
That had to be the most agonizing thing that any human, and Jesus was human
at that
and spirit
point.
At the same time, that any human had ever done. To feel God say, I can't look upon the sin.
Amen.
And turn his head. That's the penalty that we don't have to pay.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Because God said, I will be with us, be with you always.
Always.
Amen. And that Jesus paid the price that we couldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he turned his head, all the wrath of being separated from God came on Jesus.
Mm.
And you know what's powerful about that is he was obedient to God,
even
in his humanness. Because he said that if he wanted to, he could ask for a legion of angels to take him if he can't take it. If he were to the point that he was in his humanness, he said, you know what? It is not my fault. I'm being persecuted because these other people, I can't deal with this in my humanness anymore.
Right.
But he provided us as an example of when you're in your flesh,
Lord,
if you lean on God, no matter how bad it is, he will help you to get through it.
My Lord. And when you understand that, you can rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Hebrews, that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was Hebrews 4:12 or Hebrews 12:4. Let me y'all biblical scholars help me out here. I believe it's Hebrews 4:12, where he said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 4, or is it 12:4? I'm struggling to find that verse. Somebody gonna help me find it. Holy Ghost, help us. But when we look at this, we see disciples, you know, resist sin. That's not it. I can't remember where it was, but it's in Hebrews, and if someone can help me, that he said he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. In other words, there was a time where Jesus was going to the cross, but he endured it. And he understood that if he endured it, that eventually the joy of him redeeming mankind would come.
Right.
And so that's the thing that we are getting from this Matthew 5, verse 12, is that we can rejoice even while we're going through, because we know that the ultimate end, God's going to get the glory. And when God gets the glory, you know, that makes it all worth it.
That's right. That's, you're going to have that victory. You know you're going to have the victory.
So what we have to do is, with this beatitude, is to continue to rejoice, to continue to praise God, continue to give God glory, knowing that eventually he's going to change our agony and our pain into joy. Hebrews 12, verse 2. When we look at Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, he's the author and finisher of it. In other words, because you can say he's the author and finisher, and that means that he knows the beginning from the end.
Yeah.
So he already knows that ultimately God's going to get the victory, so he can endure with joy because he knows that ultimately God is going to get the victory. And so that's the beatitude that we should have, is that God is the author and the finisher. In other words, he authored what we through, and he's going to finish what we're going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so, go ahead.
But you're not just sitting there thinking, because Sheila and I were talking about this week. But we failed to realize that while he was going through what he went through,
mm-hmm.
he was going through it in the flesh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that all that we go through, the pain, the agony, the,
mm-hmm.
the depression, all of the attacks, so he went through all of that, and he was
yes.
in the flesh.
Right.
He did not use his spiritual power.
Correct. Right, right.
And
right.
we fail to understand it. We forget that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he...
The devil tried to get him to do
really
would take the, take, mm-hmm. to take the shortcut. But looking at verse 12, he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Mm.
Right.
Get your mind around that.
Hello.
That he was looking past the shame and the agony
mm-hmm.
because he could see the joy.
Right.
Right.
So that is us walking by faith and not.
Right.
We're saying I might be going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble not gonna last
That's
always.
Right. That's right.
It might be a little difficult right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that ultimately God's gonna get the victory.
That's right.
I might be struggling a little bit right now, but
Amen.
I know somewhere along the line
Amen.
That God's gonna increase my strength.
That's right.
He said that weeping may endure
no,
for a night.
Night.
But somewhere along the line, joy is gonna come in the morning.
Hello.
So I got a proper attitude because I know it's not always going to
be like this.
There's a bright side somewhere.
Come on now. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Come on.
To know that whatever I'm going through is only going to be just for a little while.
Just for a little while.
But while you're going through, you need to be actively having that prayer and that
right.
communication
right.
with
right.
the Lord. You can't just sit in your situation and say, okay, Lord, fix it for me. You have to be able to communicate and talk to the Lord and pray and get yourself in the right frame of mind so that when you get through it, you and God together can rejoice in your
yeah.
victory.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to stay right where you were.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of times people are like, why am I still in this? Why am I still in this situation? Well, have you done anything along with your faith? Yes, you believe that God's going to bring you out, but what are you going to do?
Still
what
stuck.
Are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to stay there? You're going to do something.
And what is your testimony towards somebody else?
Right.
See, a lot of times people get in situations where they have trust and they say they believe God is
mm-hmm.
going to deliver them, but they're not being good witnesses to those that are around them while they're going through.
Right.
So in other words, they're going through, but they're complaining the whole time.
Complaining the whole time.
They're going through. You ever seen the complaining Christian?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. You talking about wanting to run away from somebody?
Come on now. Come on. But, you know, we forget what
But praise
what
the Lord on the other breath.
Over in Psalms 27, that
uh-huh.
14th
oh,
verse,
right.
Wait on the Lord, be of
good
courage,
Amen.
And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait,
I say
on
the
Lord.
Amen. And that's the part of being of good courage and encouraging other people while you're going through. And I was sharing with somebody this week about on Easter Sunday, we're going to the nursing home. We do that every fifth Sunday. And we were talking about when we go to the nursing home and you begin to start going with the idea, with the intention to go minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the midst of it, they begin to start ministering
to
you.
Yeah.
Right.
In the midst of them being separated from their family,
uh-huh.
having physical ailments, they began to start perking up. They began to start ministering to you and telling you how good God is, even in the midst of you seeing them, you know, having to have assistance and this and this and this and this. But yet they're still praising God. They're still trusting God. And so that is an example that even though you're going through, you still can rejoice because know that no matter what you're going through, God is still good.
That's right. That's right.
That'll preach all by itself.
Lord
have mercy. So when we look back at Matthew 5:12, and he says, exceedingly glad for your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. It didn't say great is your reward on the earth. Uh oh, Sheila. He said, great is your reward in
heaven.
Great is your reward. I'm going to say that one more time. Great is your reward in heaven. And so what happens is we as Christians, we have to understand that we're just like pilgrims passing through this earthly existence.
Right. Not a permanent place.
And so we have to be learn to be willing to give up everything that this world has to offer, because we can't take it with us.
Nope.
Neither should we want to take it with us. And so our focus should not be on the things of this world.
All right.
But it should be on our reward that is in where?
Heaven.
You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But I think sometimes we hold on too tight and we get an attitude because I don't have this, I don't have this, right. I don't have that, yeah. I don't have this.
Yeah.
And material things begin to start shadowing my understanding of my reward in heaven.
And you know, once you have a giving heart and you just give of yourself, give of your time, give of your money, give of, and you just say, okay, God's going to bless you. God, all that whole thing, seek you first the kingdom
that's
of
it.
God,
that's it.
And all these things will be added unto you. Because you're not seeking it. You're
right.
not seeking the material
right.
things. You're not seeking that. You're not seeking it. It's like you're giving, 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 but in your giving, in your witnessing,
mm-hmm.
in your allowing people to see you go through,
mm-hmm.
God does bless you
right.
even while you're here on earth.
Exactly. Right. And it's like using tools. It's like, and if you run out of that tool, God will give you another tool. He'll
mm-hmm.
give you more energy. He'll give you something else. But the focus is that when he says, great is your reward in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, he's not promising you
mm-hmm.
anything down here.
So you change your expectation.
Amen.
If you change your expectation and you say, okay, in heaven, I'm going to get there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So whether I get it here or not, it doesn't matter.
There you go. That's what gives you the attitude that
I can
rejoice.
It doesn't matter. Then that's when the Lord starts giving you stuff that you didn't even ask for.
Right.
Because that's not what your focus. That's not where your focus is.
And he can entrust you now
correct.
With greater things.
Because that's not going to become your little guy.
There you go. There you go. And again, that's why I said it like five times,
mm-hmm.
in heaven.
Right.
We need to be looking toward heaven.
Right.
Can you imagine the saints of God who were in bondage and slavery in the Old Testament, and the saints who were brought over, people that were brought over in slave ships to the United States, and they were taught about Christianity, but they were taught about how good God was, but yet they were still in shackles.
Right.
Amen.
Right. And they were probably closer
mm-hmm.
to God than the rich
people. Because they didn't have anything else but God.
But
that's
God.
Right.
Talk to me about that, Dr.
G. And that's part of, too, when you go back and you think about it, they snuck to have church
yeah.
while
yeah.
they worship the Lord in whatever way they
yeah.
can. But then when you fast forward to the 21st century,
mm.
here we are
uh-oh.
With all of the luxuries.
Come on now.
Mm. We don't have
time for God.
We don't have time to give God the
no
praise.
Time for God.
No
time
for God. But we got time for television.
Oh.
We got time for the NCAA playoff.
Now time to sleep.
A whole lot of time for that.
My goodness.
But yet we forget what they went through.
Oh, yeah. Keep preaching.
And I mean, they were beaten. Shackled families,
but
sold,
not
and they would sneak to go give God the praise. And they did just what that verse says. They
yeah.
were rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have it all. They were still rejoicing.
Yep.
That's good news.
And when you have that understanding that these folks, that's all they had to hold
mm-hmm.
on to,
right.
was God.
Amen.
And to be able to rejoice. Because they knew that earthly, they weren't going to be able to get out of this.
Amen.
But they knew that there was a promise from God to knew that there was a greater reward,
all right.
something greater than this
something
earth.
Better.
And I think because we've come from that, and now we've gotten riches, and we've gotten money, and we've gotten jobs and material things, I think our faith
hello.
Has become smaller
yes.
because
yes.
of our
because
mm-hmm.
right.
we've gotten very complacent.
Uh-oh.
We've gotten so comfortable in the local. We can't even go to church more than an hour, hour and a half.
Preaching too long.
Here we go. Before we start looking at our watches, and then we go with the finger up,
yeah.
and we got to go out.
Right.
We have gotten so complacent
hmm.
in our just living, daily living,
right.
that if we have to struggle a bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we are really off the hook.
Yeah, we got to go to the doctor and get some medication.
Come on. Hello.
Got to go get this. Need a pill for this. Panic. Need a pill to get up. Need a pill to go to bed. Need a pill to stay up. Because I can't handle it.
Something wrong with that.
Can't handle life.
But they would go. They would go and work in the field from sunup to
sundown,
6 days a week. And then on Sunday morning they was up, and then they was in church all day long.
We just want to lay around. My toe hurts. I can't move.
My back hurts.
My back hurts.
Got a headache.
I want weekends for myself.
It is the truth.
But again, I said it five times, your reward is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we looking for down here?
Can't take nothing with you.
Self-gratification.
What are we looking for down here? What are we looking
for? That's what people are looking for. It's about self. It's about make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we can't rejoice and be exceedingly glad with our persecution is because our focus is not on our reward in heaven, but our focus is on our reward on earth.
Right, satisfying my flesh.
So how does that go over in the church today? Jessica, let's ask Jessica in the studio. How does that go over in the church today? That our focus should be on our reward in heaven and not our reward on the earth.
It's all about them. Like you said, they just put the finger up and they excuse themselves from church. They don't focus on God. They always focus on what they want to do. And it's all about them. But you can't really focus on that. You got to focus on how to make God happy. You just have to rejoice Him because He did so many things for us. But
Amen.
They just don't want to do it.
Amen. And when you focus on God, and I always like to go back to Job. Joe said, I came into the world with nothing.
Ain't going to leave the same.
And he said, I'm going to leave with nothing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Brinks truck or one of them Fargo trucks?
Come on.
Pull up behind the hearse?
Come on.
Even those folks that got buried in pyramids in Egypt.
Hello.
Somebody came and stole all the gold.
Stole all the stuff.
All the gold.
So what is it? Solomon said it's all vanity.
It's all vanity.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. So why, I'm asking the question, why do we hold on so tight? Why do we look at the magazines and we get, I want that, I want that, that's it. I got to have this. And what I found is even when we get those things, we're
not happy.
Not happy.
You want more.
One more.
We're not
happy. Never satisfied.
Because there's always going to be something else
that you want.
It comes out.
And check this, we want it, but we don't want to work for it. Want somebody to give it to me.
Oh my goodness.
Come on.
Oh my goodness. So we're gonna get some folk on the line. We're gonna try to get some perspective for some folk on the line about this reward in heaven that we should be rejoicing about. So I'm gonna try to get 3439. I'm gonna get 3439. See 3439.
3439.
3494, you on the air.
3494.
All right. Can't get there. We're going to try 9016. 9016, you on the air.
Hey, Uncle Tony.
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right.
So I'm asking the question tonight. Why do we get so excited about things, material things on earth, and not rejoice about our reward in heaven? Why is that out of balance?
This ought to be a good one.
Because there's so many of us that it's like the microwave generation. We pop things in the microwave and we put it on 2 minutes and boom, it's done. That's how a lot of people want their blessings. They don't want to have to work for it or you know have to put in work, and it's too much work to gain this, that, and the other. So it's the generation nowadays is I want it like Burger King. I want it my way. I want it now. And I don't want to, if I can have it in the world, then why wait for the spiritual aspect of things?
And in your experience, when you get things, you know, is it a lasting thing or is it a fleeting thing?
It's not lasting. I mean, it's just momentarily, and even when you get the things that you want, you're still unhappy because of the way that you got it. You're not looking at it from the spiritual aspect of it. If you were to put in the spiritual work and wait for it to be given to you, wait for God to bless you with it spiritually, then you would cherish it more. Versus when you get it the worldly aspect, it's like, okay, I got it now. I want this now.
Then you want to move on to the next thing.
Exactly.
So what about a fresh pair of Jordans? How fresh? How long can they stay fresh?
To the new pair come out.
And then they're not as fresh as the other ones, right? All right, Doc, we're going to try to get somebody else on the line. Appreciate your comments.
All right.
We're going to 7878. You're on air.
Hello.
First Lady, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good evening, Sister G and Pastor G.
Hello there.
How are you?
Hey, we're asking the question tonight. Why do people have more? Why is it out of balance where people rejoice and get excited about worldly things, material things, earthly things, than they do about spiritual things?
First and foremost, we're in the flesh, and we're thinking about satisfying ourselves first. And then later on, when we mature, because not everyone's mature enough to look at it in the spiritual realm. So
right.
it takes time and growth, but once they realize that we should be thanking the Lord for the things that's in the spiritual realm, then we become satisfied with what we had versus working hard for it, and after receiving it, then you appreciate it more because you know that the blessing came from the Lord. And through your hard work and your diligence and your, you know, praying and doing what you need to do for the Lord, that's how you get it. And then you're able to accept things more. But if you get everything real fast, you don't appreciate it. I mean, you appreciate it, but you don't appreciate it in the sense of the spiritual realm in which it was given to you. Because some things we receive that are given to us in the spiritual realm that we ask for. In actuality, we really don't want it, but the Lord say, well, okay, I'm going to let you have it and see what you're going to do with it. And then he determines if the things that he gives us, if we're able to handle them. Because we're not able to handle everything. There's some things, you know, it takes time, you know.
Amen.
Everything takes
appreciate your comments. I'm going to move somebody else. Thank you. All right, we're going to go to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Kayson, Pastor Gregory, Sister Gregory.
Hi.
How are you all?
Doing well. We're asking the question tonight, why do people rejoice more over worldly things or earthly things than they do over the things of God?
Well, for some people, they haven't gotten to a certain spiritual level where they appreciate the things that God gives. A lot of times when we associate blessings from God, we sort of think about the circle of blessings, like more houses, more cars. And sometimes we get so caught up with the material things that we get that we forget to even ask God or even want the spiritual blessings. But as we seek the kingdom of God, God will bless us with the other things that we need. And we will appreciate the material possessions more because we will know that only God is the provider. God is our Jehovah Jireh and not us. But a lot of times because man wants to be in control and we want to say, I done it.
Uh-oh.
We don't want to bow down to God. You know, we just want material possessions, and we're not that concerned about the spiritual aspect.
That's right.
And a lot of times people judge us, and we have to be very careful, because a lot of times people will judge Christians. They'll walk with God according to what they have or what they possess,
mm-hmm.
and not their spiritual life.
Amen. And so in your experience, do material things have a lasting power for you to be happy?
No, it doesn't, because these things only give you temporary joy.
Amen.
But it comes a time in your life where you really need God and His spiritual love, grace and mercy, His joy and peace. See, I can have
Amen.
All the money in the world.
Come on,
but,
preacher.
If I don't have peace, mm-hmm. and inner joy
Amen.
From the Lord, then
right.
that money, it doesn't do me any good.
My
right.
goodness.
And
Amen.
Some things
we just
cannot buy.
Amen. Amen. I like that. I like mm-hmm. that. We appreciate your comments. We're going to go and get someone else on the line. Thank you very much.
You.
All right. We're going to go to 566. 5666. You're on the air. Hello? Caller, you're on the air. 5666. You're on the air. Hello? All right, we're going to try to go back up to 3494, see if we can get them on the air. 3494, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're asking tonight, why do people rejoice more over material things than they do spiritual things?
I think people are more about instant gratification. They have to wait for the joy of getting into heaven, and they don't have to wait mm-hmm. for the stuff that they get on a day-to-day basis that they don't really have to work towards. I think it's mm-hmm. about doing hard work to get into heaven. The spiritual joy is just harder for some people to work towards.
Amen.
Something that
Amen.
They don't know
Amen.
Is concrete in their life.
Amen.
All right. Well, we thank you for your comments. Tonight we try to get the last person on the air. We're going to try to go down and we're going to try to get 5666 one more time. 5666, you're on the air. You there? Hello? They just must be listening in. But thank everyone for chiming in. Dr. G, my question is, a lot of people are saying, at what time would you get mature enough to be able to
right.
say, hey, this material stuff isn't what it all cracked to be? At what point, where do you think people start making that transition?
Well, I don't really think it's a particular age. I think depending on how much you have to go through in your life. I mean, now for me, coming up, my faith has always been there, and I've gone through a lot
mm-hmm.
at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I was about 25, 26, I had gone through, I had lost and
mm-hmm.
lost things,
mm-hmm.
lost jobs,
right.
lost family members. And you've lost, and then you have nothing but God to hold on to.
That's
right.
right.
Then you begin to understand that it's not about all of these things, and
mm-hmm.
you've got to find something else
right.
to channel that energy through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the material,
because,
mm-hmm. I mean, what, 60 now, and we're at a now, one of the young folks said, well, you know, what do you get for somebody who has everything?
Right, right.
I said, all right, but it hadn't always been like that.
That's
exactly.
true.
Exactly.
That is so true.
I mean, we scuffled. I mean, we there with the tell folk in the early beginnings
right.
of our marriage.
Right, right.
Hot dogs and beans.
Come on,
yes. chicken.
That's
and
it.
That was it.
That's it.
You know, so it's the thing when you learn as you go through life,
mm-hmm.
and as you're going through, you're learning. You don't become woe is me Right. If you have faith in God,
right,
that's the key right there. It depends on how much faith you have in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of us that have gone through, and we know for a shadow of a doubt, my faith is in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
not in the world,
right,
or in what the world can do.
Right.
So I think when you've gone through and you've lived long enough to the point when you're lost,
mm-hmm.
then you begin to gain as long as you're right there with the Lord.
So, Sheila G., the persecution and all those mm-hmm. things that were going on in these Beatitudes, you know, persecution, not having peace, having to deal with mercy, having to deal with hunger.
People lying on you.
So all of those things
will help you grow.
Help you to grow and help you to be able to rejoice more.
Oh, my God.
It builds character, builds strength. It shows that even when things around you are not like they should be, you mm-hmm. can still have joy because you know that God is the one who takes care of you. God mm-hmm. is the one who leads you. I'm not dependent on man to make me feel good about
That's
myself.
Right.
I know that the Lord said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
But, you know, as we were talking and as I was listening to the listeners, it brought back to what Paul said about whatsoever state I'm in there to be. I've learned to be content,
right.
And that is what it's all about.
Amen.
You know, he said, "I learned how to be humble. I learned on top. I've been on the bottom, but I've learned that whether I'm on top or whether I'm on the bottom, I'm content.
It's okay
because mm-hmm. I'm content with the Lord.
Amen.
Because those things don't define me.
Amen.
That's not what defines me. And if I say, okay, Lord, I personally have a goal." But I know I'm not going to get to that goal
mm-hmm.
if you don't guide and direct me. And a lot of times we'll choose a goal,
mm-hmm.
but we want to get there our way
Wait.
And not get there God's way. And when you really trust the Lord and say, yes, this is my goal. In the beginning of our marriage, we were like, okay, we're not going to be in this, all of us squanched in this little apartment forever. We were content with it.
Right. Amen.
We were happy.
Right.
We had some great Christmases, but
Amen.
We knew that, okay, Lord, I know you're going to help us to
Amen.
Move on.
Amen.
So as we just trusted and believed in him that if we did what he told us to do,
right.
we would get to that point.
Absolutely.
And slowly, step by step.
Step by step.
I followed your house and I followed to the next house. But it is putting your life in Christ's hands and letting Christ lead you, not us deciding what we want to do.
Right. Amen.
Too often we do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we make our
mistake. That is where we make the mistake. We do what we want to do.
And we find ourselves not wanting to have to go through
nope.
the lesson.
Nope. Right.
But you know, nope. most In order for us to really get an understanding,
uh-huh. you got to go
right.
through something.
It's just like
you
going to
learn
school.
How to be a baby.
And when you go to school, if you want to get to the next grade, you're
going
to have to go through.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have to go through, but we want to get to the
tippy
top
without
degree,
being on the bottom.
Without having to go through and matriculate mm-hmm. all the way through. And,
right.
and, you know, you have to learn all the way through. And that's tough because. You know, we look around and we see everybody else, you know, seemingly being blessed.
Amen.
Before us or better than us.
Right.
But if you really go in behind closed doors,
right.
they're not as blessed as you think they are.
Nor are they as happy as
they
are.
Exactly.
And that's what I always tell people that, you know, don't try to keep up with the Joneses.
Mm-mm.
Or don't try to define yourself based off what somebody else is doing because that's their life. You have mm-hmm. to live your life.
Right, right. So again, when we look back at what Jesus was going through, he had riches and glory.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came down to earth, in other words,
mm-hmm.
earth was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is nice. But it's not compared to where he came
going
from.
Right. Right.
And so Paul says that we're seated in heavenly places.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, our this is just a temporal thing. In other words, we have to see ourselves as seated in heavenly places. And so when we see ourselves as seated in heavenly places, what it does is it puts this world in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you have that perspective, then you can go to this world and say, hey, you know, this stuff is acting up. The world's acting up.
Amen.
You know, world leaders are acting up.
Right.
You know, Supreme Court is acting
yeah.
up. You know, all these things. And you can say, you know, Bible talks about this.
Right.
you know, this was already told. You know, this was already told what's going to happen. The prophets were given that when he talks about the prophets. You know, they were persecuted too. God showed them what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
God said, look, tell them that if they do this, they'll be blessed. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with
same
us.
Same thing with
God
us.
God said, if you obey and carry my word out, it's going to happen. It's going to happen for your good. But if not, then you're going to have wars and rumors of wars.
Right.
And folks going to kill each other.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to have men with men and women with women.
Come on,
and everybody going to say everything is fine and hunky-dory.
Come on.
And God said, you know, this is where the prophet, he talked about Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
told them what was going to happen.
Amen.
He told them about Nineveh, told them if they repent what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't leave any stone unturned.
Amen.
That's right.
He will send a prophet, he'll send somebody to tell you to get it right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But, you know, you hit on right there real quick. But when you said about how Christ left his riches in glory
mm-hmm.
to come down to earth.
Yes.
For us.
Sacrifice.
And no, he didn't want to stay down here.
No.
But he was on a mission.
Amen.
And when it was over with, he prepared the folk, look, I'm going home. And I'm going to leave y'all a comforter down here.
Amen.
But I'm going
but I'm
back
going
home.
Back.
Amen.
And we have to understand that, you know, and that part in there, you know, talks about for great is your reward in heaven.
Yes.
That's where it's all about.
Yes, that's where it's all about.
And you know why it's so important to understand that is because we don't know when we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to live each day as if it's your
Amen.
Last.
Amen.
At least from a spiritual realm. Now, don't go out there and say, this might be my last day, so I'm going to
spend
my last
boost,
dollar.
Right. Who was that predicting? Somebody predicted the end of the world like three straight years,
yeah.
And it never came through. And I think they predicted it again.
Yeah,
this
year they said it was coming to
we got it wrong. People sending this fella money.
Yeah.
I said, why are you sending him money if the world going to end tomorrow? He doesn't need the money.
Amen. Amen.
No, but
Amen.
I mean from a spiritual realm,
mm-hmm.
you need to live your life as if this is your last one because you don't know. There was someone on the belt walking on the beltway the other day.
Thank
a car drove by and hit him and they
don't Amen. Know why he was.
They don't the know beltway. Why he or she or why they were on the beltway 3 o'clock in the morning, but they're gone. But they're gone, and every day we have to wake up and say, okay, Lord, lead, guide me to that.
Mm-hmm.
Get me out of the way, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to get in the way.
Right.
But Lord, please move me out of the way.
But we have to have a kingdom attitude right now.
Amen.
We have to, like I said, God says we're seated in heavenly places. We have to have a kingdom attitude right now. We have to act like now that we already have the kingdom.
Amen.
Right.
God came to set up the kingdom in our heart.
Amen.
So now that he set the kingdom in our heart, we have to act like we're the kings
mm-hmm.
that he has called us out of this world to be.
Amen.
That's right.
And well, have a kingdom attitude,
right.
to have an attitude that says, you know, I'm king, and this is just a temporary location right now.
Right.
But I'm going to demonstrate to you what God says the kingdom of people who live in this kingdom, the way they should act.
Right.
And not the potentates, the little arrogant rulers,
holier than thou.
They've taken office that they can do what they want.
Uh-oh.
That's not the kind of kings and queens we ought to be acting like.
Amen.
We ought to be acting like the spiritual ones that the
Amen.
Lord talks about in his Bible.
And he says that we're peculiar people.
Hello.
Yeah.
In other words, we act a certain way. We act way our Christ, the way our
Amen.
God acts. That's the way we act.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the thing that we focus in on. Is am I living the life, or is the way I live, am I living for God? Am
Amen.
I living for Christ?
Right. Every day, every moment, is this what God wants me to
do? Amen.
And even when it's times where we fall, because we are human.
Oh, yeah.
And we do mess up. We still, at that point, to say, God, put me on the right path.
Exactly.
And help me not to go down there again.
And help me not to go.
Right.
And he will.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to be, the focus has to be that we are the kings and queens that he's called us to be, and we know our home is in heaven.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing that I find that will give us strength is that, you know, it's never going to be perfect down here.
Nope.
It's a temporary thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he says that we should focus on the things that are not as if they were.
Yeah.
Because the things that are temporal.
Amen.
It's just a temporary thing. And so don't get so involved in it. Don't get so hung up and don't get so deep in depression when things don't turn out in the way you want them to turn
That's
out.
Right.
And so stressed out and they get so strung out over small things.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. if plan A well, they That's fall apart.
Yes.
But you should be able to go to plan B and say, okay,
right.
I'm going to plan B.
All
but
right.
But I've seen people in church in organizations mm-hmm. where they get so stressed out because it's not perfect and it doesn't go the way they want it, and it's like, you know, that's the end of their world mm-hmm. if it doesn't go right. My thing is, okay, it didn't go right. We'll go to plan B. We'll
right,
get
huh.
it next time.
Right, right.
We don't have to.
Right.
You know, because nothing in this world is going to be perfect,
right.
and nothing in this world is going to get to a point where it's going to be the all of end all.
Mm-hmm.
But what we should do is that we should do our best to please God.
Amen.
That's right.
And no matter how big and no matter how small,
mm-hmm.
if we do our best to please God and focus on Him and what He wants us to do, then we'll be better off.
Amen.
That's why Colossians 3 is one of my favorite scriptures, because everything in there teaches
Amen.
You how to live holy.
Amen.
In relationships, in work, in other relationships outside amongst the people, that whole scripture talks about living holy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way you don't let things of the world, like if you're at work and,
mm-hmm.
and your boss is getting on your last
mm-hmm.
nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, let me go to plan B. Let me
right.
keep going.
There
because
you
go. Know what? You know, because people want to quit. How many times do people quit their job because there's a little pressure at work? Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Exactly.
If you're doing it unto the Lord, it doesn't matter because God will take care of it.
Sure will. Sure will.
God will take care of it. But there are people, I can't work. Why not? Because that they push me around, or I'm hopping from job to the next
yeah,
job, to the next job, mm-hmm. to the next job. Well, you know, if you hop from jobs that much, maybe it's you.
Amen.
Same thing with church, Dr.
Hello,
G.
Hello.
Dr. G.
Amen. There are no perfect churches, and you have to be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Whether it's a church, a job, or whatever. And as you said, Sheila, you do it as best you're doing it unto the Lord. And when you get to a church, I mean, you, number one, you need to be led by God.
Amen.
Because every church is not for everybody.
Right.
And everything that's going on in the church is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be prayerful about where you go. Let God lead you, and then once you get in there,
mm-hmm.
you be of the mindset that it's not about me,
right.
but it's about my God and
right.
what His mission is for me.
Amen.
Right, but a lot of times people in church, it's about them.
It's about
oh,
them.
My goodness.
It's like
it's
the church
them.
Belongs
oh,
to me,
it's
the pastor belongs to me, the first lady belongs to me, and you all just need to do whatever you need to do to make me happy.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It's like, no, you need. We are here together collectively to glorify and magnify God.
Amen.
Come on,
not
Sheila
you.
G. Come
not
on,
G.
Not
G.
you.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, that's good stuff. That's
not
good
us.
Stuff.
What about us?
So getting back to this verse 12, when we see that it's not about us,
mm-mm.
that we're the ones that have to give, the prophets gave, we have to give,
mm-hmm.
they went through persecution, we had to go through persecution, Jesus gave, He went through persecution.
Yes,
all of these things are saying, you know, you're not, this is nothing new to you. Like
nope.
we said, there's nothing new under the
sun.
Mm-hmm. We have to understand that it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough sometimes.
Yes.
Amen.
But we still can rejoice. We still
yes.
can be exceedingly glad.
Yes.
We still can walk around as kings and queens because the reward that we're looking for is in heaven and
right.
not on earth.
Amen.
That is right.
And when you have that perspective, you have that understanding, you can face the things that this world has to throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you know, these Beatitudes were are all about and teach us. I've learned a lot. I've been refreshed a lot. I don't know about you all,
yes.
but they have been good. I think my attitude has been made better.
Mm-hmm.
and I thank God, because sometimes you can get a bad attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You can get a bad attitude. But prophets went through it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went through it. Other people went through it. And I'm going to have to go through it.
Amen.
Right. And what I like about it is it's not like this whole prosperity thing that you're not ever going to have an unhappy day.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's saying you're going to hurt.
Mm.
You're going to cry. you're going to go through. People that you didn't expect to hurt you will hurt you. But if you trust and believe in me, mm-hmm. you'll be blessed.
That's right.
And if you're blessed by me, I'm going to be with you always. So that means that you can be maybe upset or disturbed for a minute, but move on.
There you go.
Move on. I'm becoming more and more. I don't like hearing negative stuff. I just don't. I'm like, when people start talking negative things to me, I'm like, and then I shake it off.
Right.
And then a lot of times people will say, well, you're not listening to me or you're not paying attention to me. No, I'm praying to God.
Right.
Because I'm asking God to give you that positive attitude, that positive experience that I'm having, even in the midst of your confusion or your persecution. Or when you're in a situation where you're right, but everybody else is wrong. And it could be the case. Jesus
exactly.
was right.
Exactly.
And he died.
Exactly. Oh, Lord. Come on now. Okay.
He died for being right.
Okay.
So why is it that we feel that
it's a surprise.
We can't be wrong sometimes?
Right.
We can't. People can't do things wrong to us, or people aren't doing things right by us. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let it crush you and
exactly.
end you and just waddle in a corner, oh, I'm so depressed, or I can't take it. No, I'm not going to let another person run me crazy.
Amen. Amen.
You can do enough of that by yourself.
God's good. God's good. It's obvious because I've been married 25 years.
Lord,
he hasn't driven me crazy. Yeah, he's tried.
Amen.
He's tried.
But it's good to know that what I say is just Jesus kept it moving.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And when people bring stuff on you like that, you know, you just don't have time for the drama. You know?
I don't.
And the foolishness. And as you get older and you get wiser and your faith grows, you get to the point where, you know, if A doesn't, plan A doesn't work, I'm not falling apart and crying in the pillow over plan A.
Nope.
I'm going to go to plan B.
Amen.
And I'm going to work plan B. Me and the Lord and I are going to work plan B. And he's going to get the glory.
Amen.
Because, you know, you learn over a period of time that you can't get hung up on those things. You can't get stuck in those positions because it's not productive physically, spiritually. Your blood pressure be up.
Right.
You're worried. You can't get sleep. You're chewing your fingernails down to the bone. You're nagging and irritating everybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
When you can learn to just turn it over to God and say, God,
keep
this thing is bigger than me.
Keep it moving.
You take it. You handle it. I'm going to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep praising you while you fix it and work it out.
That would be a great challenge for us to give the members of our congregation. Can you go 2 days without complaining about one thing?
Ooh. 2 days? You mean one day?
No, I'm going to make it 2 days. Without complaining.
Really?
And I mean complaining to God, too. And you know, people go complaining to the Lord.
Lord, your people.
Lord have mercy.
Just without and just be joyous. Mm. Just be joyful for one day.
That would be something. That would be something.
Just be joyful.
I don't know how far we would make it. I don't know.
First time somebody cut you off while you drive.
On your way to the bathroom.
Hello. Come on.
He knew I was getting ready to go in there.
Right. Going there first.
All right.
I didn't leave the seat up.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave that alone. But you know, as we get older, we get mature, and we learn to rejoice in the Lord and
turn it over to Him.
And turn it over to Him. That's what this attitude is. That's what Jesus had. That's what the prophets had. And this is what God is expecting us to have. And you know, it's not like God hid it. He hid it. He didn't hide it. He told us, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. But he never promised that it was going to be a smooth ride.
No.
He didn't promise that every day was going to be sunny.
That's right.
And he didn't promise that there wasn't going to be some tares to grow with the wheat.
Right.
He said the wheat going to grow with the tares. There's going to come a day.
That's right.
Where he's going to separate the wheat from the tares.
That's
there's
right.
There's going to come a day. Well, we're going to give up this earthly life, amen,
right now.
To a life that has a reward in heaven.
That's
why Jesus said, I go if
to
I go. He said, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And that's the promise that he gave us. So we need to not hold on
to this world
because it'll disappoint you and man will let you down
every single time.
Every time.
Man, child, boy, girl, woman, dog,
So, but it's been a good lesson on these Beatitudes. I thank God for allowing us to be able to go through and to be able to just study these again. And it's really been an eye-opener for me. Thank God for it. All right. Well, we're going to close out. Sure does fly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask everyone just to pray for everyone during this Lenten season as we go up to Good Friday and rejoice on a Resurrection Sunday. And pray that everyone will have faith and be mindful of what Jesus did. Again, in that Hebrews, it said that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
And after that, he sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. And he's making intercessions for you and I right now.
All right.
We can make it through.
Amen.
Until we can get welcome to our new home.
Amen.
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 Dr. G, we're going to ask you to close us out in prayer.
Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for this another session, O Lord, another evening that we've been able to come to get into your word and study and take a look at some things.
Yes.
Father, we pray thee, O Lord, right now that we've done what you wanted and that you're pleased with our efforts. Oh God, I ask that you continue to lead, guide, and direct our paths.
Yes.
Help us, O Lord, that we might walk this journey and do it in such a way that we might bring glory to you.
Thank
Father,
you,
we thank you for
thank
those
you,
that have called in.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You for these that have come out.
Yes.
And, O God, we pray that all that we do down here will be pleased to you up there. That one day we
one
will
day.
Hear you say, well done,
yeah.
thou good and faithful servant. Come on up. I've got a place for you up here. For all of the heavenly things that we're looking forward to,
mm-hmm.
we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray.
Amen.
And so we tell everyone good night and be blessed.
Amen.
Good night.